Promex BDA's digital content producer, and this is the Daily Brief Podcast. How do you feel when you meet someone for the first time and they ask you, tell me about yourself? Do you get uncomfortable? Do you stumble around not knowing exactly what to say? Or are you the master of your personal pitch? In this podcast, Kareem Taylor speaks with Holly Murchison, education producer and author of the book, Tell Me About Yourself, 6 Steps for Accurate and Artful Self-Definition. In their discussion, they talk being your authentic self at work, smart, easy ways to introduce yourself, and global similarities in how humans communicate. Let's listen in.
This is Kareem Taylor. I'm here with Holly Murchison. She's the founder and CEO of Oratory Glory, the human development agency. And Holly is also the author of the best-selling book, Tell Me About Yourself, where there's powerful case studies and practical steps to help professionals define themselves so that they can create connections and open doors. And most recently, Holly and I was there too. Holly was in Singapore for the Promax BDA conference, and Holly was the closing keynote speaker, where you had the audience buzzing for the rest of the conference. People out of their seats, talking, laughing. Some people looked like potentially they were just really touched by something that happened. So what exactly did you say? What did you do to get everyone buzzing in that room? There had to be about 400 people.
My goal was really to just get people to talk to each other. I think that's the hardest part for a lot of folks at any conference. It's, you know, the awkward networking experience, especially if there are like hundreds of people there. So what I did was just create a moment of intimacy where people can talk to one person at a time. And I was like, you know, let's see if it works. And it worked, and people were super chatty. And, you know, they started to make connections because they weren't necessarily talking about their work. They were really just trying to get to know each other. So it's a lot easier to let your guard down when you don't feel like you have to say something impressive. You know what I mean?
Right. I guess you can walk through work all the time, and maybe you just talk about work. Maybe your water cooler talk isn't so expansive, so to speak.
Exactly.
And why do you believe that sort of people don't bring their personalities, their sort of, you know, who they are to work? I mean, what are the benefits, and maybe what are the sort of some of the fallbacks that may keep people from doing that?
You know, it's so interesting because in a lot of the workshops that I teach and the conversations that I have with people about this, there's some like hesitance to bringing your full self to work. Like there's, you know, a fear of judgment. But in all of the spaces that we exist in outside of work, like when we're at homies and we let our hair down, we experience life better when we can be our full selves. Like, you know, when you kick it with your homies and you can just be, you know, who you are. It's a more enjoyable experience. And so it's just taking that notion and bringing it to work. Like, hell yeah, if you could be your full self, you're going to do better work. You know, you're going to connect deeper with the people who you spend your days with. And I think that's important just across the board.
Right. And in your book, there's so many case studies. I think Oberlin College might be in there. I think you work with some of the people that work for the college, and someone was just in there talking about, oh my God, that was amazing. My ability to communicate has changed. And so what does that look like? What does that conversation look like? Is this me maybe at a work happy hour, or, you know, some sort of event, maybe even at a Promax conference? You know, what does that success look like in your eyes?
It varies. It varies from group to group that I'm working with. So let's take Oberlin, for example. The work that I do with Oberlin is in a couple of different spaces. So they have a leadership and entrepreneurship program that is growing, and they're looking to figure out how to expand it. So on the one hand, you know, what that looks like for that group of students who are engaging in that is being able to take an idea from, you know, inception to execution, and being able to talk about the idea in a conversation, and taking that even further in their day-to-day conversations. As you know, college can be a really high pressure place. And if you're like a graduating senior or a grad student, just that pressure to perform well, to, you know, be a school, be making a mark because they're a school that focuses on social change and liberal arts. So there's that space. And then, you know, we've worked with like the writers program, and they're, you know, writing tutors who are supporting other students and communicating their ideas and thoughts. So it's really you know, how do you grow as a facilitator to be able to facilitate that experience for someone else? So there's a lot of different pieces and parts to it. It depends on the group.
Great. Thank you for breaking that down. Is there like a 15-second cut shortcut that I can use to just quickly get my point across? Oftentimes, I feel like I do several things, right? I'm a voice actor, but I'm also on this podcast, right? I also write blogs. Sometimes I'm a radio host, you know, so I've got a lot of things I do. I mean, how do I sort of remain a professional and, you know, sort of share my value with the marketplace, but also, you know, talk about everything else that I do? How do I do that without confusing people?
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you asked for a 15-second, you know, bite. I think it's quickly, there are three things you should be considering, right? The first is, who is your audience? And, you know, what do you know about them so far? The second is, like, what is the point that you are trying to make within the context of the people that you're talking to? And then the third is, like, what do you want them to do next? Right. We never think about like what that next step is in the conversation. So if it's like, you know, my next step is I want to get people to continue the conversation with me, or my next step is I want to walk away from these conversations with people who want to set up more time to talk to me. It's like thinking about that end goal and then just creating, you know, an appetizer for how to keep the conversation going to achieve that end goal.
Thank you for breaking that down, because oftentimes I can have an entire conversation without telling someone I'm a voice actor, and then they probably go look me up somewhere and discover that I'm this whole other person. They're like, wait, how did you not mention that? I'm like, I just so many questions. I'm sorry. I don't feel like explaining everything right now.
And that's the goal, like, right? If you have to explain all of who you are in 60 seconds, like, that's a mouthful. The goal is to, like, engage someone in a way where they want to continue a one-on-one conversation with you. And if that starts off the premise of what you do, that feels like kind of a shallow way to begin a relationship or a conversation with someone, you know? And right. Like, maybe in this particular conversation, that person doesn't need to know that you're a voice actor. You know, maybe you're there to build, you know, connections about something else. So I think it's fun to leave some layers for people to get to know more. And you decide like which layers you want to peel back first.
Right. And what do you think is sort of the scariest part of the work you do? Is there something that you know, someone you worked with, something that you saw that sort of you were like, wow, you know, there's ultimate change to come here. There's like, you know, this super opportunity in this to help someone go from where they are to where they would like to be.
Yeah. Honestly, I just think it's like knowing that, like, you don't know what's going to come up for a person. Because growing in the way you communicate means, like, being willing to go to deep layers that remind you of stories or past narratives or things you need to let go of. So the work is literally helping people become comfortable and confident with going to their deepest edges, right? And, like, going to the deepest edges of yourself is, that's some hard-ass work, yeah. So for me, I wouldn't say it's like scary, but I'm very mindful of the fact that when I am supporting people and like taking leaps and communicating their story, I know that there is a possibility that for someone, this will uncover something that is like challenging to face if you're not willing to do the work. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. Like, oh my gosh. I mean, I was there in Singapore. I got to see you live. So I think, oftentimes I do not go to the lengths of talking about the music that I like or talking about, you know, why do I do what I do? You know, it's like sometimes when you talk about that at work, it can feel like, you know, people think you're getting too deep. You're like, let's not get so deep into like the why of why I do this, because I want to make a change in the world. And, you know, I grew up in a community and, you know, all these things. And you're like, you know, it's good to have a chance to just say these things. Do you think it's important that people know that I'm a fan of Jay-Z? I've asked people this before. You know, people talk about bringing yourselves to work, and I'm like, you know, I oftentimes listen to DMX, and I'll listen to the Fugees, I'll listen to Jay-Z, I'll listen to Future, I'll listen to a lot of this music on my way to the office, right? On my way to a meeting, where if I'm wearing a suit, you know, and you have no idea that I'm listening to this, is it important that I bring that personality to work? You understand what I'm like? So that sort of authentic, you know, where I'm from, what I listen to, who I am, and bringing these elements to the work. Does that change the work? Does that influence the work? And is it better if
I
it does?
I think authenticity absolutely influences the work, right? Like, if you are trying to do work that is making some impact, you better bring your most authentic self, because especially if you're engaging with people, people see that. People will see you. So if that means for you sharing that you like Jay-Z, yeah, like I love Jay-Z. 444 was amazing. It was 444 was a great album for the culture last year. Like it created so many necessary conversations. And again, right, that conversation come back to communication. I'm not saying like put a Jay-Z poster on your office wall, right? But if you can connect with someone about a song, or like I just had a meeting yesterday and we talked about Jay, because the guy I was meeting with had gone to headquarters, him on tour, I caught the tour too, and that was just another point of connection. So if it's genuine and authentic to you, absolutely. But if you're trying to do it for like points or like cool, then not if it's like corny.
Exactly. Don't be corny.
Don't
now,
be corny.
There's one thing.
Don't be corny.
There's one thing to point out, you know, you do this for businesses and sort of, you know, sometimes it can feel corporate, but it's not. I mean, exactly. I mean, I think what separates you is sort of, you know, creatives, kind of thinking about creatives and artists and entrepreneurial leaders, you know, and guys, I think, you know, a lot of people who learn about communication and how they present themselves, you know, you might be a B school student, you know, but most of us, you know, we're working. And some people are designers and some people are editors and, you know, voiceover people. All sorts of people that work in entertainment marketing. But, you know, it's like, you know, we pitch as well. We go and we have to network and we have to do all these things. But we're not taught that stuff.
No.
I'm just saying thank you for the world. I'm sorry. I'm saying thank you for everyone.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man. You know, it's like I get excited hearing you say that, because I'm like, yeah, as artists and entrepreneurs and creators in the world, it's so important that we can communicate our ideas. And like even beyond pitch, like in the transactional sense of like getting money for an idea or getting resources for an idea, I mean like to build your tribe. I've made so many dope connections with people because like we were in alignment around our values and our beliefs and what we wanted to create in the world. And if you can't clearly communicate that to someone, there's so many missed opportunities to get in alignment with the people who you need to align with to bring all of these things into the world, you know?
Is there a secret in your book that you can share right now? I mean, or do we have to go get the book? But is there something that's in the book that you can just share and say, you know, this is what we do. This is how we do it.
Like how we do the whole 6-step process, or
maybe one step.
You know, the fourth step is my favorite. It introduces these circles of discovery. And a lot of the times it's hard for us to convey this response because there are so many places that we can source for an answer. Like, tell me about yourself is daunting, because for you and I, we have like years and years of things that we might be able to share. And step four walks you through the idea of combing through what these circles of discovery are for you. So there are four areas that we usually mine from when we're trying to tell stories. There's your values and beliefs, your background and your interests, your skills and achievements, and your dreams and aspirations. So the idea is to just go into these circles of discovery and ask yourself, like, you know, what do I value? What do I believe? And how does that connect to my background and the things that I'm interested in, right? And then how does that connect to my dreams and aspirations, you know, what I've dreamt up for, how I want to act on these values and beliefs in the world, or like what my background, how I want that to show up in my story. And then the skills and achievements is, you know, here is how I have acted on those dreams and what I'm creating. And when we can pinpoint those four parts of ourselves, then we know that's like, that's the meat of the stories that we're telling. And those stories are going to vary if you're out at a party with the homies, or, you know, if you're in a work setting where you can make a genuine connection with someone, or, you know, if you're speaking or at a networking event. There's so many different spaces. And I think starting with what stories you want to tell and mining those stories then gives you a pivot point to do what's necessary next.
Thank you for breaking that down. And is there... You're from Brooklyn, you're not from Brooklyn, but you're from New York, and you know, you've traveled all around. Shout out to Harlem. You've traveled all around the world at this point. What led to the writing of the book, and you know, sort of what was it a sort of personal thing? Was it, you know, was there something that happened that made you feel like this idea needs to spread? Maybe a story about that.
Yeah, about 4 years ago, I was working with this education nonprofit that was working with high schools and sending dream directors into schools to help work in collaboration with the school to transform the culture. And that obviously looked different in schools across the country. So I was working as a dream director in San Francisco. And before the school year started, we had this professional development training called Dream Academy. And my homegirl who brought me into the organization was like, can you teach a session? I'm like, sure. What would be, you know, the most useful? And at that time, she knew about the work that I was doing as a communications coach and training speakers and facilitating workshops and working with companies. And so she was like, you know, teach us how to introduce ourselves. I was like, all right, like, what does that mean? She's like, you know, well, we have to talk to parents, we have to talk to administrators, we have to talk to teachers, we have to talk to students. And as new people in the school, we want to build trust. So how do we authentically introduce ourselves to staff? I'm like, all right, cool. So I just like took out some post-its. I'm a post-it fanatic. And I just was like, okay, what is the process for introducing yourself to someone? So I just doodled the first iteration of the 6 steps. Cool. I teach the workshop. It goes really well. Some dream directors start teaching it to their students. And at Dream Academy, my homegirl was like, all right, you got to write a book. Everybody has to write a book this year. Hashtag team published, my homegirl Sarita. So I'm like, all right, cool. I'm going to turn teammate into a book. Like, this would be useful. Like, I got the idea was validated in teaching at that time to my team that, oh, this could be useful for someone else. And I'm like, the best way to expand it is to put it in a book. So 4 years ago, I was like, I'm writing a book that year, right? That did not happen. I didn't write a book that year, but it just kind of, I kept teaching the method and iterating it over 4 years. And finally, the moment came where it was like, okay, you have to sit down and write this down. And I started writing and I just started telling people that I was writing a book. And then someone introduced me to a publisher, and literally like within 2 weeks of being in conversation with them, they were like, we want to publish the book. So it was like a 4-year process, but I knew from the moment that I taught the workshop that it could be useful, in a format like a book.
Thank you for breaking that down and congratulations. One question I do have is, after you've traveled everywhere, I think right after Singapore, I think you went to Amsterdam.
After Singapore, I finally went home. But before Singapore, okay. Yeah, I went to Amsterdam and Johannesburg.
Right. So it's like, okay, so you've been everywhere. I mean, you've been several places around the world, even in the United States. And so what's some of the differences that you've noticed on a global level in terms of communication? Is there something that you notice in certain markets that people are doing that maybe we could steal in terms of maybe personality? Sort of the way that people talk about themselves or the way that they feel about themselves, or, you know, is there some sort of differences that you found that, you know, we can use on our end?
You know, what was really interesting across the board from the States to Joburg, Amsterdam, Singapore, when we talked about the skills and achievements part, people were so uncomfortable talking about what they had done or what they had accomplished. They didn't want to feel like they were bragging. So that was like one key identifier across the board. What was really interesting, though, was in the one-on-one conversations in Johannesburg, the folks who were working in the media industry weren't afraid to say, to call themselves artists. And they were really open about sharing other projects that they were working on outside of whatever their day jobs might have been. And I thought that was really cool. I think sometimes when you ask someone, what do they do? They may be in a place of transition, right? And so that's a trigger point for some people. They're like, I don't want to talk about this like side project I've been doing. Should I talk about my job? And people felt so much more comfortable sharing about like the passion projects that they were working on, or like the dreams that they were developing when they were off the clock at their day job. So that was cool. I would say totally be open to doing that. And Amsterdam, people were asking each other really good questions, not like, what do you do? It was more like, what are you excited about? What part of the conference have you enjoyed, you know, the most so far? They were just more pointed, thoughtful questions. So ask empowering and thoughtful questions when you're engaging in conversation with people, like you actually want to get to know more about them. But I would say that one thing was what stood out across the board, like the resistance to sharing skills and achievements. And then those other 2 points were what really helped people win when they were making their intros.
It's amazing how sort of bragging or some version of bragging, I may be saying this for lack of a better word, though, but sort of being able to share with people in an easy way what it is that you've done, why you've done it, or why you're doing it, it can sometimes be transformative, not in just not just for you, but just also for being able to articulate what it is that you've made and why it's important.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so it's one of those things that's extremely difficult, but also just extremely valuable. Who knows? Promotion, winning a job, all of those sorts of ideas and real life situations that can actually grow your career or grow your business. I'm glad you gave me those secrets, though, because kind of being able to talk about your passion project, being able to talk about your side projects, things that you're working on, those are the things that truly get you excited. It's not that work doesn't get you excited, but the thing that you work on, you have full control over, and you've got, it's like yours. It's like your baby. It's like the thing that you've built from the ground up. And you want to take pieces of that to the office.
Exactly. So ask good questions. It makes such a difference.
Ask good questions. Well, thank you for joining me on the podcast today. Is there something that you think, that you believe that other people don't?
Is there something that I think I believe that other people don't?
Is there something that you wish the world knew?
I wish the world knew that impossible is nothing.
Well said. Holly Murchison, thank you for joining me. Holly Murchison is the founder and CEO of Oratory Glory and author of Tell Me About Yourself, which is on Amazon right now.
Thank you, Kareem.
Paige Alpiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provides the music. Digital producer Kate LaKire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A. Follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack and follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. And you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, and now on Spotify. Thanks for listening.